You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
For the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission here at the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning. My name is Juan Pablo Padilla, and I will be your host this morning. And with me today is a wonderful guest, a good friend of mine, Jen Delvaux, who when I first met was working very hard over at the Young Adult Ministry here at Holy Name Cathedral. So it's a very, very special guest, in my opinion, a very prestigious guest. So how are you, Jen?
I'm doing well, thank you. And that's quite the introduction.
Great. And for those of you that probably are familiar with Jen's voice by now, or maybe the first time hearing it, Jen is also one of the coordinators that works for our, Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. So, I don't know if I got that right. But.
You did. It is strange to be here the second week instead of the third week of the month. So,
yeah. So we're very happy to have you here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we like to talk about is fun facts about ourselves. And Jen, so how long more or less have you been working with the Arch now?
Actually, just almost a year. August 14th, I think, will be my official first year anniversary, but I've been here in the city now for 3 years. So just had the little Facebook memory pop up of moving day, which was quite the day. So
now you're a native of Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
See, I got that one wrong.
Yeah, there you go. I'm originally from Wisconsin, so I am a cheesehead. And I will say I don't care about the National Football League, so hopefully Bears fans out there won't lynch me. But I moved to Ann Arbor right after college and then worked there at a parish for 12 years before coming here.
Well, see, I am a Michigan fan, so.
I got to go with my Badgers.
But I have never been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hopefully one day I'll get to, I've been to Notre Dame so many times, but I'm not a fighting Irish fan, but I love Michigan, and mm-hmm. ever since I remember I was growing up, so the fact that you lived in Ann Arbor was like,
Big House is a great place to watch a football game.
Awesome. So a fun fact about us, one of the things that we do is, did you know? So a fun fact about us, and this is just to kind of break the ice, and for those of you that are missing the voice of my co-host, Victor Vallejo, he is on his way. Let's say a little prayer for him. He had to go drop off his daughters at school, so he's on his way, and he'll be joining us very shortly. So that's a fun fact about him, for him. But a fun fact about me, with this World Cup fever, Jen, I've been keeping up on the games. So I don't know, maybe you're not, but I am a huge soccer fan.
Okay.
And when it comes to the World Cup, I become an extra super soccer fan.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've been following is all these games.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have to say, I did not know that France as a country, international soccer team, would make it to the finals. So for those of you that are not familiar with soccer, the World Cup is taking place right now in Russia, and it happens every 4 years, and it's a tournament of most of the world, soccer teams and nations that qualify. So this year, it looks like France is going to be a finalist. The last time they were a finalist, I believe it was in 1998. So it's been, almost 20 years already. So it's exciting. And one of the things that what I'm excited about is that they're such a young team. They are the youngest team in the teams that are competing at the national level. So I feel pretty good about that because, hey, that's the younger young adults, right? The tail end of the millennials that are kind of like, making things happen over there. So that's a fun fact about me. I did not know. But,
mm-hmm.
but just for the record, I am rooting for Croatia. So, supporting, our Cardinals, ancestry home country. So for sure, I'm rooting for Croatia 100%.
Okay. Well, I... am horrible at almost all sports and really don't actively follow any. I'm a very passive Badgers fan. So I check the scores at the end of the football games and during the basketball tournaments and hockey, I guess. But the one thing that I did discover in college, the only sport that I have any natural gift for, I would say, is fencing. So I fenced saber in college, and if I hadn't graduated, would have ended up on the team, actually. So that is my one athletic gift, I would say.
That is a great athletic gift to have. I mean, you know how to wield a sword.
I still have it. It's in the corner of my bedroom. So, you know, it's there for self-defense, too.
Hey, you know, we got to do what we got to
do.
You know? So, no, but I did not know that about you. So that's actually a pretty fun fact. You know, it's getting to know you better as a person, but also, you know, as a minister that knows how to fence. I mean, that's, you know, you never know. It may come in handy, you know?
I did once talk at a youth retreat using fencing as prayer and the sword of the spirit and things like that. So it was a fun visual aid and something that the teens then that I was working with didn't know about me either. So it was a surprise for them, too.
That is very, very awesome. And Jen, how did you first come into ministry? How did you first enter into this world of serving the Lord, especially as a layperson? And now, you know, as an archdiocesan employee, how did you first open that door?
Well, when I was in college is when the journey started. And I started college deciding that I would be either chief of staff to a president or the first female chief justice of the Supreme Court. I was poli-sci, pre-law, all that good stuff. And then I got involved. I kind of sat in the back at a couple of the large group undergraduate gatherings at the Campus Ministry Center at the University of Wisconsin. I'm naturally a very shy person in outside of work environments. So sitting in the back, kind of escaping as quickly as possible. But there were two girls that were both named Megan, and they saw me and decided, I guess, that they were going to talk to me. And so they spent a couple of weeks making sure that they found me before I could escape. And so we got to be friends. And then one day they said, you know, we want to go to hang out, but we got to go to this meeting at the Campus Ministry Center first, but then we'll go grab our pizza and watch a movie, which whatever it was, that was the plan A. And so I'm like, okay, fine. I can sit through a 30-minute meeting and, you know, ponder what toppings I want on my pizza. And within 5 minutes of sitting at the meeting, I was signed up to go to World Youth Day 2000. And so the decision to go to that and the involvement that came as part of participating in that, along with the fantastic support that my home parish back in the Milwaukee area gave me financially to be able to go, it was sitting in that insanely hot sports field in the middle of Rome where I started to feel there's something here. This means something. And so my sophomore year, I got more involved volunteering. I was going to Bible studies. And then somewhere along the way, I realized I really don't want to be a lawyer anymore, but I don't know what I want to do. So by the end of my senior year, though, I was working part-time in the Campus Ministry Center, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give ministry a try. I'll do like 3 or 5 years, and then I'll figure it out, and I can go to school for whatever I really want to do. Well, 12 years later, I was still in ministry and was like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. And then, you know, God just kept guiding me along and opening up new doors through the friendships and relationships that I had had for moving from Ann Arbor to Chicago, and it's been a fascinating journey.
It sounds like a really wonderful journey, and it just goes to show, you know, you started off as wanting to be chief of staff for the president of the United States, you know, or, you know, the chief supreme justice, and it's, you know, and here you are working in ministry. So it's really interesting because we've been having conversations, and, you know, this being the Lifelong Formation Show and all that, we talk about, you know, how God continuously calls us in our own situations and wherever we're at. You know, it's interesting because you and I actually do have something in common. You know, and it's the whole political world. At some point, my dream was to be congressman. I was actually on the path and walking on that. And I was like, I want to be a congressman. Working for the church was, interestingly enough, is working on behalf of advocating for people and people's rights. That's where I kind of fell in love with the ministry as I became in contact more and more with it. And I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? You know, I went from A to B. And then I remember we did a 50-mile walk. from Chinatown to Batavia at the time.
Okay.
It was a immigrant rights. We were advocating at the time for a fair, comprehensive immigration reform, and mm-hmm. I remember it was on the way from Chinatown to Batavia. It was like a 3-day journey almost. We took our time. And after that, I just wasn't the same. After that, mm-hmm. something had shifted. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a congressman anymore.
You right.
know, I don't think that's what I want to do. And there was something that happened. And then from there, I began to look into ministry. So, you know, I didn't know. So
yeah.
here we are. You know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that formation component where, you know, that those couple of years between that moment at World Youth Day and sensing there is this personal God. And what does that mean? Does it just mean I'm a lawyer of deep faith, or is there something else? And it was through encountering scripture and through the guidance, particularly of a couple of the campus ministers, one in particular, she was an incredible mentor and really fed my intellect, which was something that I hadn't encountered in religious education as a child. And so being able to get that information on social justice teaching and to see that this could be a method to shape the world around me. And that was an area of faith that never had been proposed to me before, and yet was the reason why political science and law was so intriguing.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue with talking with our wonderful guest, Jen Delvo.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Zupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how Catholic Charities is reaching out to those in need. You'll meet a priest from Australia who sang his way to international fame. We'll see how a community pours out its love and appreciation to a retiring Catholic school principal. And we'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Zupich about the continuing immigration issues.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
I'm Rochelle, Activities Aide at Catholic Charities St. Albie Adult Day Center. I'm often told we light up seniors' lives each day they come to us, but they do the same for us. One shy man even opened up after coming to our Adult Day Center and started a writing group. Being Chicago's Good Samaritan means helping someone be somebody and giving hope and meaning to life at any age. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Zupich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
And welcome back, everyone. Good morning to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show. be a radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission here at the Archdiocese of Chicago. With me this morning is my guest, Jen Delvaux, or should I say our guest, Jen Delvaux, since this is our radio show. And, you know, we've been talking about how we got into ministry, and she was sharing a wonderful story of how, you know, both her and I at some point were on a path to the world of politics and engaging in, as civil servants. And now, you know, or as public servants, rather. And now, you know, we're both doing ministry. And Jen, tell us a little bit about what are some of the great things that you guys are doing at your office of evangelization and missionary discipleship. And maybe if you want to just a little bit unpack that, because our audience, you know, as you know, we were on Relevant Radio for quite some time. And now, you know, we're on 7:50 a.m., so we have a much larger audience. So a shout out to all of you that are listening to us for the very first time. And a shout out to you guys who listened to us and still kept coming back. So, you know, we're really much enjoying having you guys on and listening to us. I know some of you are maybe commuting on your way to work. Maybe you're going out for a jog, have your headphones on, get your, you know, Good Morning Catholic Talk, you know, this morning. So, you know, Jen, tell us a little bit about, you know, that office and what is it that you guys are, what are some of the initiatives that your office is doing in terms of its vision and its mission as it relates to, you know, Renew My Church and Phase 5 and all these other great things. Well, I know that's a lot, but
no, I know.
In simple terms.
I would say we probably are divided into two categories, and a big part of that is the Renew My Church. So for those parishes and groupings that are in their, you know, that phase five or the new reality, they've gone through the structural and organizational pieces of the Renew My Church process. As they come out of that, the whole purpose of that structural change is to put the structures of the church at the service of the mission, you know, to go make disciples. And so what we are putting together, and we're already meeting with pastors and staffs from some of those first wave parishes, is to offer them some vision and tools and resources of how they can shift the culture of the parish to be a culture of evangelization. You know, that oftentimes we're really good at talking Catholic to Catholics, and we don't always think about who and how do we engage as those who aren't Catholic or who are, you know, our friends and our neighbors that are seeking, that have questions, or that are even anti-Christian and anti-Catholic. And how can we make our parishes a place where they not only feel welcome, but they have a place to encounter Jesus and to be invited into a relationship with Jesus and with his church. So we've got some pieces that we've pulled together, a vision and some tools and resources, and we're going to accompany parishes. Each of us is assigned to two vicariates because we're a small but mighty office at this point. So I am trekking up to the wilds of Vicariate 1 and getting to work with some of the parishes like in the Lakes region and so forth. I'm really excited for that. There's some wonderful things going on up there. So that's going to be exciting. And then we also know that that's only a small percentage of the parishes right now. You know, next summer there will be another large wave hitting phase five. But for right now, that leaves about 340 or so parishes that aren't yet in that phase of Renew My Church. So we're looking at how can we help parishes get ready? How can we help them move the needle in like one area of their ministry or of their parish? You know, how can they strengthen their welcome ministry? How can they make the liturgy something where if you have somebody who's not Catholic, you know, maybe they're a spouse or maybe they're a friend that's visiting from out of town and they tag along with their friend to Mass, how can you make the Mass approachable for them? You know, that is there something that you can do for those pieces? So we've got a variety of different toolkits that we're working on, and especially in October, there's the big Renew My Church conference that parish leadership and priests will be attending. And so coming out of that, we'll have a lot of different pieces in place. We'll be doing some different workshops and days of reflection. Really a special experience that I got to participate in was in Vicariate 2, they had a day of reflection for the receptionist and administrative assistants, because I think a lot of people don't realize that those individuals are really the front lines for their parish and the front lines of evangelization. So that it was a great opportunity to reflect with them on their unique opportunities to be able to be the presence of God for individuals coming in with questions and how they can really shift that culture just in and of themselves. So that's the sort of special events, I would say, that we're focusing on are things like that.
Wow, that's incredible. It's, you know, driving to we recently had the Quinto Encuentro regional mm-hmm. here, and what you're saying resonates with me so much. And when we come back, you know, I'm going to touch a little bit on that. And so stay tuned and don't go anywhere. And we're going to be back with our wonderful guest, Jen Delvo.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show, the show for the Office of Lifelong Information at the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission here for the Archdiocese of Chicago. If you're just joining us, we are interviewing our wonderful guest, Jen Delvo, on how she was able to get into ministry, the ministry that she does currently now with the Office of Mission of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. Sorry, guys, it's a little bit too early in the morning. I need an extra kick of espresso coffee. Right now, but I'm getting there. For right now, you know, I think I'm on Holy Spirit, and I think that's, you know, plentiful and, mm-hmm. and everything that I need to keep going. And as we were on break, our co-host
finally
showed up. But you are our guest, Victor. You're our guest as well.
Thank you.
Our co-host Victor Vallejo showed up. Victor, yes. how was your drive up here?
I wasn't expecting this, but there is going to happen something this weekend, and it was a lot of traffic though.
I think this is the Taste of Chicago.
It is.
That's true. We were talking about that yesterday.
So you got to get on. You got to get on the fast, Victor, so that you can enjoy all that good food mm-hmm. come the weekend.
Oh yeah, I have to camp.
You know, I mean, you know, we love to eat. So, yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys knew this about me, but I spent 4 years in the seminary with the missionaries of St. Charles Calabrinians. Yes. And our formator used to say, if you have a good appetite, that means that you have a good vocation. So,
all
know,
right.
But, our vocation is definitely to serve the Lord. And yes, we do have great appetites. So, you know, hooray for the taste. Now, you know, one of the things that I was getting into when you were talking about what your office does, Jen, is how one of the things that you just said to me is very important, and I think it should be very important, in my personal opinion, to mm-hmm. all of us that do ministry, and it's how is God present in the things that we do mm-hmm. at the parish
right.
level, in the ministry level, at various levels, because you know I always get asked by my friends, even you know, and even some close family members that. Are not necessarily too into the Catholic Church or into any of the Christian faiths, mm-hmm. for that matter. They really don't practice much, and, yes. and it's
right.
not, you know, it's not like they're into really anything. It's just kind of like living their life. So I engage with them often, and one of the questions that they consistently ask me is, well, where was God in this, or where was God in that? And right. I know that it's a question that you guys are not, you know, foreign to, but you know, it's a question that when I was first asked, you know, it would leave me, and it's a question that I myself have asked. Why not? You know, it's a question that I think that all of us have been, you know, developing in our faith, probably should ask, as a matter of fact,
definitely.
Because when you were talking right now, is who really makes God's presence in our lives? And driving to our fifth Encuentro gathering over in Notre Dame on the weekend of June 8th, I was talking to a friend of mine on the way there, and I was asking her in particular, how do you define your ministry, or what is your ministry for you? And we were having this conversation, and you know, she said something that was for me extraordinary. She's like, how is my ministry Jesus in the lives of people today? How is my ministry literally Jesus? And I think that was powerful. I mean, I know she just probably said it at the time, maybe because it sounded cool or whatever, but it has left me with a profound thinking of how am I as a person through my ministerial roles the person of Jesus in my ministry, or how am I making our ministries Jesus for others?
No, I completely agree. And I think sometimes, you know, we're really comfortable talking about Jesus and faith. I mean, we work for the church. But I think it can be a very scary way to talk about it. Yes. And one of the mantras in our office, at least, is that evangelization is relational. And I think when you start talking about relationship, it makes it much more approachable, particularly for people who don't yet have that relationship with God. You know, we say it's relational because to be an evangelizer and to share your faith and to share where God's at work in it, you have to have that relationship first and foremost with God and Jesus yourself. And so then you also have to have that relationship with the other person, you know, that it's you. I don't know about you. I don't necessarily feel particularly evangelized when I see people on a soapbox, you know, in the middle of the street shouting at me or holding up placards, you know, and things like that. That's not relational. It's random, you know. And so if we're able to just have those casual conversations in cars or, you know, when a friend's in crisis, I know that seems to be the time that all of a sudden my non-Christian friends, you know, who don't really have time for faith when there's a crisis in their lives, a loss, a divorce, you know, a difficult time at work, all of a sudden they start having questions. And, you know, we're sitting there over a drink or over coffee and they, you know, are kind of beating around the bush and they'll come out, does God hate me because I'm getting a divorce? And I know the only reason that they can ask that question is we have that built relationship. And so I think by focusing on that and then being able to share that relationship that I have with God is able to respond to that. But oftentimes, you know, we don't make it personal. And I think that's what we're seeing as one of the big challenges to help accompany parishes with figuring out how do they create that culture of relationship and belonging and welcome.
And it can be just a simple thing like talking to somebody that you don't know. I remember like a year ago, Father Peter, in one of the masses here at the Meyer Center, he told us to approach a homeless and ask them for their name. And you know, I know a lot of homeless because I see them, you know, I just give them a dollar and I say, oh, I'm good with my mind and my heart. But then I was challenged, so I decided to ask their names. And as I asked them their names, so they became persons to me. And then they started sharing their stories. I get to know one of them really, really good. I see him quite often. He speaks different languages, and that's evangelization. That's relation that you are talking about. We have to come out of our comfort zone, where we got these friends, and we talk to them, and we eat with them, and that's good. I'm not saying that as bad, but we have to go and you know, talk to somebody who you don't know, especially in this city that there is people from different countries that they can help you to broaden your perspective. And of course, we are Catholics. We are going to be talking about Jesus. That's the reason a long time ago I joined the seminary. I was also a seminarian, just like Pablo. It took me, I was for 17 years in the seminary. I didn't become a priest, But I joined the seminary because of that reason. I wanted everybody to know who was Jesus and how he mm-hmm. transformed my life and how he's so super close to me. And I wanted to go to overseas with other countries and other countries with people, the poorest of the poor. That was our mission. And that's the reason I'm here in the States. So they sent me over here. I'm not in the poor country, but I'm sharing my faith. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy here with different cultures. And here on the table, we are different cultures, different. It's good to be. God brings us closer, and that's evangelization. Sorry, I am like a preaching yep. here. I'm just going to remain quiet.
Well, I think some of that information from the seminary is finally coming
out.
So, you know. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue because we have a lot more exciting stuff coming up and we want you to know about it. Stay tuned.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with two young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her, and she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back, everyone. And if you're just tuning in right now, this is the Lifelong Radio Show for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission mm-hmm. for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We are located on 35th Street and Lake Park Avenue. We are the pastoral center that does the pastoral work for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Okay. So we are very, very, very glad that you're joining us. Again, if you've been listening, thank you for sticking around. If you're tuning in right now because you're getting ready to go to work, or because you know you feel like listening to this kind of talk during your workout at the gym is you know fortifying your spirit, then that's exactly why we're here.
Oh, yeah.
And with us today, just you know, to recap, is Jen Delvaux of the Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, and Victor Vallejo, my co-host, who also works with the Office of Life Information in the Family Ministry Team, Marriage and Family Ministry. So thank you so much for the both of you. And we've been talking about, you know, how we got into our faith, how we've been called. Yeah. And we were leaving off on, you know, how it is that our ministries can become, you know, Jesus or the presence of God himself in our world, and how, you know, our faith needs to connect to our life and vice versa. Our life needs to connect to our faith. So, you know, if you're a Catholic, if you were born Catholic or raised Catholic or baptized Catholic, and you probably went to Catholic school, and you know, in your teenage years, as you were having all that fun in the world, maybe you thought that, hey, maybe I'm not into the church anymore, or I don't want to practice anymore. And right now, you know, if you're feeling that maybe you need something in your life or something's missing, you know, I don't know who you are, obviously. But, you know, this message is resounding in your heart or in your soul. And if you feel like you're missing something in your life, you know, I invite you to go to Mass on Sunday you know, maybe pray and see if something happens there. You know, I'll leave you with that. And you know, that's the personal invitation from, you know, your servant, Pablo, here at the Archdiocese. And as we were talking and continuing to talk, we had mentioned World Youth Day earlier.
Right.
I want to brag about World Youth Day now.
Definitely.
So, you know, Jen, how many World Youth Days have you gone to?
I've been to 5.
Wow. That's
yeah. Awesome. Yeah. There's a certain level of crazy there, but it's great.
And for those of you that have never gone to a World Youth Day, they are absolute chaos. And at the same time, they are the most wonderful spiritual experiences I've had.
I think one of my favorite summaries actually came after the first one. I was at my parents' because I was still in college, and I was doing laundry because you come back with a lot of really gross laundry.
Gross is probably an understatement.
Yeah, it's always really, really hot or really, really cold, and it's always going to be covered in dirt because you're camping out and whatnot. So I was watching reruns of The Daily Show while folding my laundry, and Colbert called it the Catholic Woodstock, and that just cracked me up because the feel of it, particularly for the overnight vigil, when you're spending about 24 to 36 hours in a giant field with, on the low end, 500,000 to, I think the biggest was over 4 million that I attended. And you've got the Pope, you've got internationally known musicians, local musicians. I know we've had people from Chicago perform and people from the areas of, you know, Madison, Ann Arbor, other places where I've been. It's just an incredible experience, but and life-changing. As I said, that was what started me on the path towards ministry away from law.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, you mentioned that you were in Rome in 2000. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. That's,
yeah.
That's really something. You know, my first World Youth Day was I still got to see the now St. John Paul II in Toronto. I went to that one.
Were I was there for that one, too, which was a really different experience from Rome. Rome was giant, and it was the Jubilee year, and so, and it was hot. They hooked hoses up to the fountains in St. Peter's Square to hose us off during the opening ceremony, and Toronto was great because it was a little smaller, so you got a little bit more interaction with the community. I know I stayed with a really great family in the suburbs, you know, so it's a great way to get to know the culture and get to know other people of faith.
Yeah, I remember that when I first got to Toronto, we also stayed at families with families. We had a big group, and we all stayed with families. Yeah. And I remember the first thing that the one guy that was going to take us, because the families were actually giving us rides to from their home to where the actual place was. Wow. It was kind of like a World Youth Day on the lake. I remember because, you know, it was like the lake was always there. I remember always seeing the lake there. But the guy, man, the guy, he immediately, the first day we got there and he was about to drop us off, he looked at us. He had a box. I'm not kidding. Full of, you know, the Maple Leafs team.
Oh.
So, you know.
A donation?
Okay.
A very fine donation. to the delegation of Chicago. So of course,
nice.
You know, that was in 2002. You know, I probably would be wearing a hawk, you know, Black Hawks, you know, hat now. But you know, it was a nice gift. But you know, the World Youth Day. What else, Victor? Have you ever been to a World Youth Day?
No, I'm really.
Oh, you're missing
out. I'm missing that. So I wish I could go one day. Eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful experience. You know, and then after Toronto, I did Germany, I did Madrid, and then most recently, Krakow.
I did not get to go to Krakow. That was actually year I transitioned from Ann Arbor to here. I helped the World Youth Day home event, but I also went to Sydney. So that was my other one in there.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't get to go to the Down Under one. Did you go to Rio by any chance?
No. It was just the decision that, you know, we didn't know about the logistics and so forth. So my pastor and I talked and just decided, given who we would be taking, that we would hold off for that one and focus on the next.
Wow. Yeah. So definitely, just for you guys out there that are listening and are contemplating World Youth Day, it's a deceiving name. It's a deceiving, I wouldn't even say deceiving translation, because
very much so.
And why is that, Jen?
It's really not. See, here in the U.S., we think youth and you think middle school, maybe high school. And it was never intentioned to be that. It was really intended when it began with now St. John Paul II to be for young adults. Mm-hmm. And that was the original start in the early 80s, in 81, 82, 83, as it was more of a local Italy and then grew international to focus on young adults.
The largest gathering worldwide of young adults or young people in the world. And when we come back, we have something exciting that's, you know, coming to Chicago around that. So
definitely.
Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how Catholic Charities is reaching out to those in need. You'll meet a priest from Australia who sang his way to international fame. We'll see how a community pours out its love and appreciation to a retiring Catholic school principal. And we'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Supich about the continuing immigration issues.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show. If you're just tuning in, we are here with Jen Delvaux, our wonderful, wonderful guest, who's been sharing a lot of great, wonderful stories with us, including World Youth Day and how she came into her faith. And our co-host Victor Vallejo. My Lord, Victor, I truly do apologize. This is not really my morning, but hey, you know, I'm getting better as the day goes. Jen, we've been talking about World Youth Day, and you know, for someone like Victor that hasn't gone, I'm sure that Victor, you would like to experience a little bit of what that is, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, eventually.
So you know, and I know there's a lot of you guys out there that probably wanted to go, or for whatever reason or other just couldn't go, or have probably seen it in the news and it looks exciting. But you know, if you haven't been able to go, and if you probably won't be going to Panama in 2019, Jen has a surprise for us.
Yes, this is really exciting because we have the World Youth Day cross and the icon of Mary, Protectress of Roman People. And the cross has been with World Youth Day since the very beginning.
Wow.
So in the first couple of years when World Youth Day was just a local Italian young adult event, it's stayed there. It was a holy year and stayed at St. Peter's. But then the youth of Italy asked if they could take it on the road, basically. And it started going all over the world. It's been into countries that are torn apart by war. It's shown up in places, the World Trade Center, following the attacks in 9/11 for a prayer service that was held there. It went to Rwanda following the genocide, and young people prayed for their country there. So this cross is not only a symbol for World Youth Day and the experience and the young people who go on these pilgrimages, but I think it's also a really powerful testament to turning to the cross during times of difficulty and strife and being able to pray together and to bring together people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, and really recognizing our common humanity and especially our common identity as children of God. So I'm really excited that we have that coming. And then we also have, as I said, it's a replica of the icon of Our Lady, Protectress of the Roman People. And this was an introduction that came at the same year that I started attending World Youth Day 2000 in Rome for that holy year. And St. John Paul II, as we all know, had such a huge devotion to the Heart of Mary. And so he introduced this as part of that World Youth Day. And ever since, it's also traveled. So we have these two coming to us on August 20th, and they'll be at Holy Name Cathedral, where there will be morning mass, noon mass, 12:10 mass rather, 5:15 mass, a prayer service at 7 p.m. And that prayer service is going to be really special because we also have Bishop Caggiano, who's the Bishop of Bridgeport. Yeah, as somebody in evangelization, his words about evangelization and discipleship are so powerful. And then he's going to he's also the USCCB's World Youth Day Episcopal Liaison. I feel like that might be one of the most complex titles you can give a person. So he's going to be there. He'll be preaching. We're going to have wonderful music from musicians around the Archdiocese. We're going to have a reception following that 7 p.m. prayer service for young adults. Following the 12:10 Mass, there'll be a luncheon. We're going to all say a few extra prayers to St. Clair for good weather so that we can be in the courtyard of the cathedral for those events. And we're just so excited because I think this is also something where it's not only for those who have are unable to go to this one as young people, but it's also something for some of the alumni like us to be able to return and remember those moments of encounter that we had with Jesus, with the church, with other people from around the world, and to come together in prayer and worship and in the oh-so-important community aspect of World Youth Day.
Wonderful. So see, They're going to be here at the cathedral, and that is August 20th.
Yes, Monday, August 20th.
It is a Monday, and it is August 20th. So if you're looking for a great excuse to not go into work on Monday,
there you go.
We're giving you at least over a month heads up.
Yes.
Take a day off. Take a personal day. Don't take a sick day because I don't want to encourage you to lie, you know. But I definitely want to encourage you to maybe take a vacation day if you could, you know, maybe talk with your bosses, see if they can let you out. And I'm inviting all of the young adults of the Archdiocese of Chicago, definitely the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, the Diocese of Rockford, and the Diocese of Joliet, and the Diocese of Gary, our immediate circle. But all of the rest of you guys are all invited all across the nation and in our region here in the Midwest to, you know, come and venerate these symbols. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to be close to something that comes from the Vatican that is, you know, is going to be here in Chicago.
What a blessing.
And you know, I'm not going to go too much into this, but I just want to make mention that, you know, Father Flager, you know, they closed down the Dan Ryan on Saturday. And, you know, people came out into the highway. And in what I heard, at least someone said it in the media. I'm not sure if this is necessarily true or not, but the largest closing of its kind of a highway here in Chicago in history. Now, you know, I saw the Divine Mercy there. I saw the crosses. And, you know, in many ways, we may not think of ourselves as a war-stricken country or a city that has, you know, these types of challenges. But Chicago has seen its share of violence. And I think that the fact that these symbols are going to be here, it is a great opportunity to pray for peace and also to, you know, have contact with these World Youth Day symbols. Any other information that we need to know on these World Youth Day symbols?
At this point, I would just say keep your eye on the Archdiocesan website and the pvm.archchicago.org for the events listing. We'll be putting up a lot more information as we get closer, but it's got the basic outline of the day so you can plan. You know, maybe you can get there in the morning before work or come after work to that 7 p.m. prayer service. But we really do hope that you're able to join us because this is something that's open to absolutely anybody. While the evening prayer service is geared towards young adults, this is something that we invite all people in the area to come together and pray and worship together.
And come as families, you know, whatever your family situation is, if you're a single mom or single dad or, you know, whatever family situation you may have or whoever you call family, we invite you to come as family. You know, bring the children, bring the adults, bring your senior citizens. You know, just stop by. It's a great opportunity for some good prayer. But definitely we are encouraging especially our youth and young adults, especially our young adults, to come and just be with us and share with us. So it's a Monday, great opportunity to take a day off. Yeah. August 20th, we're giving you a way of a heads up.
Yep.
So please, you know, dpvm.org, you know, stay looking at our website.
Chicago.
You know, see how you can contact us, you know, at archchicago.org, which is also the Archdiocesan website.
Mm-hmm.
Keep looking and keep paying attention. You know, if you follow us on Facebook already, keep an eye out, you know, for all of you guys that are doing Theology on Tap as well. Make sure that you guys, you know, say it and promote it to your guys. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Theology on Tap and you see a good session, you know, ask about this World Youth Day symbols. If they don't know, ask them to find out, you know, because that's how we're going to get this. We're going to spread the word about this wonderful good news. Anything else, guys, that you want to share?
No, what you mentioned is important, Pablo. Yeah, come to this wonderful event that is going to happen here. Venerate the crosses, but there is going to be good speakers. As you mentioned, Bishop Casciano. We interviewed him a few months ago, Pablo and myself, and he blew my mind. He's a smart person, a humble person, and he has a deep love of God. So come and hear them. I don't think they're going to be charging you any penny.
No.
So this is... You have to be there. Please make time.
You know, come venerate the symbols.
Venerate,
you know, come to Chicago if you're coming from out of town. You're enjoying our beautiful downtown here in Chicago. In the summer, it's really when it's beautiful, unless you want to come in winter, but I recommend it highly recommend it during the summer.
Yeah.
You can go out, you know, check out the Bean, you know, visit our great plazas out here, you know, have a little bit of fun. And then you can come back and venerate the symbols a little bit more, you know.
Exactly.
And if you're a young adult, you know, we invite you to stick around for the wonderful talk that's going to take place in the event. It's going to take place in the evening. Mm-hmm. But during the day, I mean, they're going to be here during the day.
Yeah.
Entire
I know they're traveling to different cities, but we are one of those. So this the cross is going to be here in another cities in the States. how lucky are we that it's going to be in our city where we can go and pray and listen to these wonderful speakers. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing.
Yeah, and don't worry about anything. I mean, you come on your own. You come on your. You come with whoever you want to come with. Yes. We encourage you not to come alone. But if you do come alone, you know, don't worry about it. No one's mm-hmm. going to approach you to give you any kind of flyers or leaflets. You know, we're going to give you your space. You know, we're going to. It's all about you coming and enjoying these symbols. And trust Amen. Me, you know, we are very good about giving your space. Yes. So don't feel like, yeah. oh, they're going to try to, you know, convert me to Catholicism or anything yeah. like that. No, relax. You know, it's a moment to come and just share with us. We're inviting mm-hmm. you to Chicago, our home, for you to experience and pray a little bit with these World Youth Day Amen. Symbols.
Definitely. And, you know, I'm probably biased since I work there, but the Holy Name Cathedral is a beautiful place to be. Yeah. So it's a great place to feel that presence.
And there is also, for those of you that are like, you know, the gangster history of Chicago
oh,
in the past, there is, I heard, a bullet hole in the
No. I hate to dispel that rumor, but every single one of those crime tours stops and they climb uh-huh. up the steps and they point it out and they put their finger in there. I can tell you that I don't know of a single church that would bronze a bullet hole. What actually that was is it's the sign that used to have the mass times. Now, there are bullet holes, but they're covered by the front steps that were put in after the renovations following Vatican II and the changes that were made to the church then. Okay. So they exist. You just can't see them. So I hate to dispel that, but it is one of the things, because I would sometimes give tours to school groups when they would come through the cathedral during the workday, and we would always talk about that and the stories about the Great Fire and everything. So that hole that they always point to is not a bullet hole, but there are bullet holes in the facade of the cathedral from that very, very famous mobster story.
And you can come and enjoy the cathedral itself, like Jen said. I mean, that mm-hmm. roof, that wooden roof, my mm-hmm. Lord, it's a real work of art. Yeah. I mean, it's a mm-hmm. wonderful, wonderful witness to the greatness of architects and construction workers mm-hmm. and artists that, you know, put all of their life and energy into making this wonderful, you know, roof and the entire building itself. So if you if you're into just good architecture and good art, I mean,
I'll be around that day. And if you come find me, I can tell you some of the stories. Right. So.
Some of the real stories.
Yeah.
So, Victor, anything else?
So, do you know what is OLF Chicago, Pablo? What is OLF Chicago?
Office of Lifelong Formation, Victor.
In Chicago. So, but our page, our Facebook page bears that name. So, please, you want to know more about our office, we got a Facebook page. It is named OLF Chicago. Just please go and like us. Because we need more people to know the good message that we're passing on.
And Jen, how do we get a hold of you? We want to know about you and some of the cool things you guys are doing.
Definitely. Well, I would say there's two things. You can head to the artchicago.org website and find the evangelization listed there. And that will give you a lot of great background information on evangelization. If you're a reader and you're looking for a new book to pick up, we've got some great things there, some prayer resources. There will be links to our social media accounts and also Belong Chicago, particularly for young adults, belongchicago.org. And there, young adults can find a wide variety of activities from around the city, everything from service to retreats to social events to Bible studies, all sorts of different things. And if there's any parishes and young adult ministries that have young adult particular events, they're welcome to submit them via the information at belongchicago.org.
So like olfchicago.org on Facebook, OLF Chicago on Facebook, like us there. Visit mm-hmm. belongchicago.org. And, of course, visit our Archdiocesan website and visit all of our different agencies mm-hmm. and offices that are doing wonderful work. And, again, we are here to serve you. We're here to work mm-hmm. for you. In many ways, you guys are our bosses, even though we do have our bosses. Mm-hmm. But we are here to definitely, you know, contribute to the great cause of building the kingdom of God here in the soil of Chicago, the Archdiocese of Chicago. So as for me, I want to invite you to continue to visit our Theology on Tap sites. Mm-hmm. There is 17 sites that are mm-hmm. doing wonderful things in lounges and bars. And, you know, go have a beer, a pizza, and then listen to some good talks. TOT Chicago. That's TOT Chicago. So look us up. And, you know, this is me signing off. And thank you, Jen Delvaux, for being on our show. We really enjoyed your presence and your history and your story and your witness. Victor, thank you for always being such a great co-host.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you, our audience, for always tuning in and being faithful to our show. God bless and have a great day.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.